glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. So good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Mark chapter 6, verse 16. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, the man I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. That was Mark chapter 6, verse 16. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, June 8th, 2026. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. Today, Pastor Jason Epperson continues our study through the Gospel of Mark as we look at Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29. Through the lives of Herod and John the Baptist, we'll consider a question every person must answer. Who is Jesus and how will we respond to him? Join us as we open God's Word and discover timeless truths that still speak powerfully today. Here's Pastor Jason Epperson.
Today we're in Mark chapter 6. We're in verses 14 through 29 today, so that's where we're going to be in the Bible. You can turn there. But in this book of Mark, this passage starts out today with this King Herod, but he wasn't really a king. He just called himself a king. Rome was still the leader of the empire, but they let these like proxy kings rise up. And so this Jewish part of this part of the country of Israel, he called himself king. But he was excited. He wanted to meet Jesus, okay? So that's kind of the background of the story. But let me tell you why he was excited. Jesus comes on the scene, okay? He's born into this world. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's lying in a manger. He has to run from Herod, this dude's dad. This dude's dad wants to kill him, okay? Don't forget that part. So this guy's dad wants to kill him because when the wise men showed up, the kingmakers, when they showed up, and all these guys on these massive white horses show up, not probably on camels, and they show up to crown Jesus as king, they meet with Jesus, and Herod's scared, and they realize that Jesus is going to be killed. Joseph has a dream. Jesus and Mary and Joseph, they flee to Egypt. So then Jesus becomes a refugee in Egypt. He goes there. He hangs out for a while. Then he comes back to this area called Nazareth, okay? He comes back to Nazareth. He grows up in this town. And Jesus then in the book of Mark basically comes on the scene at his baptism. When Jesus is baptized, everyone hears the story. It's like the gossip train. Are you with me? That John the Baptist, this prophet that everyone thought was awesome, John the Baptist is talking and everyone's like, John, you're awesome. John, you're awesome. John, you're awesome. And John says this statement, man, I'm not awesome. This brother over here. Like, I'm not even worthy to tie this brother's shoes. Like, he is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God. He is the one that'll take away the sins of the world. So that, like, starts to trickle through. And Herod knew about John. You're going to find out today. So Herod knew about this story. Herod then would have known about the story of Jesus turning water into wine. He would have known the story of Jesus choosing these 12 disciples to follow him around. And none of them had Jewish educations. None of them were like the people he should pick. It's like he's picking fishermen, he's picking zealots, he's picking tax collectors. And then he starts hearing the stories of Jesus hanging out in places where religious people shouldn't be. Then he starts to hear the stories of how he confronts the Jewish leadership about all their laws. Like, Jesus never broke the Torah, he never broke God's word, but some of the other laws they had, he's like, well, that ain't real. And so Herod starts to hear these stories. Then Herod hears a story about Jesus healing a blind man. He hears a story about Jesus healing a paralytic, about a leper being healed. He hears about him feeding, like Herod hears all these incredible stories about Jesus, but then something else happens. It was last week, JK talked about it briefly, and it was the moment when the 12 disciples went out two by two, and all of a sudden Jesus did something. He gave them power. Did you hear that part? It's one thing to hear about one spiritual dude, Jesus, performing miracles and doing things and being intrigued about a person. Are you with me? Like, who is this person? Herod always wanted to meet him. But then when Herod heard that Jesus gave power, Holy Spirit power, to these 12 disciples, and two by two they went around and they were casting out demons and they were proclaiming the name of Jesus and asking people to repent, Herod's like, who is this guy? Why do you think he asked that question? Think he wanted some power? Think he had some real questions? That's where we find the story. That's where we find Jesus in this moment in history. And I guess before we get there, I have a question for all of us in the room that every single person, I think everyone in the United States of America, maybe not everyone in the world, but everyone in the U.S. is going to ask themselves the question at some point. It's this: what is Jesus to me? Like, what is my relationship? Who is Jesus? And what is my response to Jesus? Like, literally, I don't think you can live in the United States and not at some point say, okay, who is this Jesus? And what do I do with this? Today in this passage, you're going to watch Herod wrestle with this question. You wrestle with that? Like, who is Jesus? You're in this room, so you're interested enough, or the mother-in-law made you come. Either way, you're here. But the truth is you're interested enough in this question to ask, like, who is he? Like, who's Jesus? And today in this passage, we're going to look at that. But guys, I'm just being honest. Like, was this rural carpenter in a town of less than 1,000 people that was born into basically poverty and then was killed on a cross with a couple hundred people that believed in him, supposedly raised from the dead, and then 500 people see him, and then they killed everyone who said they believed in him for over 200 years, and now there's 4 to 5 billion of us running around saying he's the king of the world? Like, who really is this cat? Is he just like a prophet? Is he some, like, who is Jesus? King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. He had heard about Jesus, and he wanted to meet Jesus. And basically the question, I guess, is he was asking the question is, like, Herod wants to rule and reign in this world. So he hears Jesus is king. He hears he's Messiah. He knows his dad tried to kill this dude, and Herod wants to meet him. You might think, why would Herod be so anti-Jesus or maybe so for Jesus? But if he was for him, he wanted to use him for his own what? Power, his own good. And if he was against him, it's like he was a threat to his own power. But sometimes it's easy for us to pick a Herod, but I want to ask you the question is, when you think about who is Jesus, is he the ruler and reign of your life? Or is he a side hustle that makes you feel good on a Sunday, and he's a good get-out-of-jail-free card in the game? Some said John the Baptist had been raised from the dead. Here's when John comes in. That is why these miraculous powers are at work for him. But others said he's Elijah. And others said he's a prophet, like the one on the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, this is what Herod said: John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. Why would Herod have thought that? Because Herod actually liked John. You're going to find out later. And he killed John, and he didn't want to kill John, but he killed John. Do you think Herod had bad dreams? Do you think Herod had regrets in life that Herod killed the only person he knew in this world that actually believed God is who he says he is? And he killed him. Hey guys, he asked if he was Elijah, he asked if he was a prophet, he asked if he was a king. You know, in our culture today, it's like, oh, Jesus was a great teacher. You hear that, right? On the U of I campus, my son's a student there, a lot of your students there. There's no one that will say Jesus was a bad teacher. Like, even people that don't believe in him are like, man, the principles of Jesus are the best way to live your life. Like, that's what people will say. The principles of Jesus are this: he's a great teacher, or maybe he was a prophet. But the question is he God? Because they killed him because he said he was what? They didn't kill him because he was... You don't kill a good teacher. You give them an apple, not a cross. They killed Jesus because Jesus said he was God. And so in this passage today, I just want to point this out that, like, that's the situation that we have. And I guess here's my question is, how do we respond? So Herod heard the teachings of John. Herod knew all about John. He heard John say, this is the Messiah, this is the king, this is the savior of the world. He heard John convict him. He heard John encourage him. He liked John. And so just like us, every single week you come into this room or you listen to a podcast or you read your Bible on your own or in your prayer time or in a worship song, my question for us in this room today is, how do we respond to God's voice? Because what you're about to witness is Herod actually listens to his wife, not God. Why? Because he feared the wrath of his wife more than he feared the wrath of God, which is sometimes understandable for some, not for me, not for me. But I guess I just want to point that out. That's like, I guess my question is, who do you follow, y'all? We're going to talk about that later in the passage. Like, who do you listen to? Who do you want to please? There's a passage in Scripture, and it says this, that the meek will inherit the earth. That's Jesus talking in Matthew 5. He says the meek will inherit the earth. What the word meek does not mean weakness. What meek is a picture of is a bridled horse. It's a passage of scripture that every single year with the football team and the basketball team, I teach them that passage. This is why, because there's tons of great individuals on a team. We've got tons of great football players. We got tons of great basketball players. But the reality is if they're not meek, we will lose. Because meekness is bridled power. It's not less power. It's moving in a direction altogether. It's a stagecoach of horses. It's two animals pulling something in a direction. Meekness is also it's described in sports with an offensive line or a defense. It is all over sports, but it's also in music. Go to a junior high band concert and then go to a symphony at Craner. They're different. And the reason they're different is when you go to the symphony and when you hear these orchestras playing, they're all moving in the same direction with the same purpose, following one conductor. And when that happens, the music sounds good. But sometimes when you go to a junior high band concert, the conductor's up there jumping up and down trying to make it happen, and all the kids are looking at their moms as they're playing their horns. And it doesn't sound the same. It's the same in chorus. It's the same in life. In this room, if we want to see God's influence and God's power and God's joy and God's peace overwhelm our city, it's not because there's individually talented people in this room. It's because all of us are listening to the same voice, the same conductor, and it's the voice of God. Meekness. I guess that's my question is, are we more concerned with the voices of somebody or the voice of God? For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother's, Philip's wife. So I'm going to read that again. This gets kind of messy. This is like Days of Our Lives, Young and the Restless. Like I'm flashing back right now. Because he had married her. So he married his brother's wife. Not cool. Not cool then. Not cool now. Never cool. But bold. For John had been saying to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him. So this guy, Herod's wife, was mad because John kept calling her out in public. It's like, hey, you're sleeping with the wrong dude. Like you're cheating on your husband. You guys are wrong. This isn't okay. And that's what he just kept telling them. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John. So the king feared the prophet. Knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, like that translation is like, he was a really good dude that actually believed what he said and did what he said. He was like a righteous dude. And he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. Imagine somebody, like, here's the deal. We all can imagine this if you actually be honest with yourself. Walking into a room, hearing God's word, this is just John talking, I'm not comparing myself to John, and I'm not comparing myself to Jesus, but when I'm teaching out of God's word, guess what it does in the room? All of us have experienced it, probably already happened today. God's spirit has done something, and you're like, oh. You either feel really encouraged, or you feel really like, I need to stop that. You with me? You blink your eyes, don't nod your heads, they can see you. But the reality is we understand this idea of conviction. We understand this idea of encouragement. We understand this relationship we have with God. And so we come into this place and sometimes we keep being convicted of the same things. We keep being encouraged with the same things. And yet we don't do it, but we keep coming back. I'm sure that doesn't happen to anybody in the room. So why would Herod listen to a dude that kept telling him, bro, you're wrong for sleeping with your brother's wife? Because there was something about the relationship that drew him to John. It's like parenting. As a parent, you got some teenagers, I've heard. And you tell your teenager, hey, you shouldn't date this person, or you shouldn't do this, or you shouldn't do this. But your kids keep coming back, even though they keep doing what they want to do. And they keep coming back to the living room. They keep coming back to the table because they know that you're going to love them. They know that what you're saying is true. Like, they love you, kinda. They love you as much as we love him when we don't listen. But we always think, well, there's going to come a moment, there's going to come a day, okay, I'll listen then. And that's Herod. Like, why would Herod invite John? And like, he literally would go into the prison just to listen to John teach because John was the only one that told the king the truth. John loved him. He encouraged him. He gave him hope. He was always there. But John wasn't afraid to say, hey, this is not right. This is wrong. But he always thought John would be there, right? Isn't that what we think, students? Isn't that what we think, family? Next week. Okay. It's like dieting, y'all. I've heard that happens. I've heard it happens. Tomorrow, no more sugar. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. Herod invited all the fellows over. The fellows brought the ladies, and it was a party now. And they had this party, and everyone was there, and the king was there. And you could just imagine Herod sitting up front in the banquet tables and this huge open space in the middle as they're sitting there, and they're drinking, and they're having fun. And this whole time, Herod is there boasting of his kind of fake power because Rome is the one that what? Granted it to him. And so this is happening, and all of a sudden this happens. For Herodias' daughter came in and danced. So, by the way, the dancer at a banquet would probably never be one of the king's family members. Like, this was a very unique moment in history. But this girl decides to dance. And so it says this, for when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guest. I don't think she was doing the waltz, y'all. I don't think she had her flowing gown on and was doing the Texas two-step. I think this dance was a little bit different than that. I think this dance was with a purpose. This dance was to gain the attention and the eyes of her father. It's sometimes interesting when we look at sin from a distance, we can't imagine it happening. Let's just all blink our eyes or nod our heads on that. Are you with me? There's things you hear about in the news or things you hear about, like, how could someone... Do you know what I found with every single person that ends up in a place they never thought they'd be? They wake up one day and they say this question, how did I get here? You know how you get there? It's a really slow fade of ignoring the encouragement, the call, and the conviction of God. Are we going to operate like John the Baptist? Are we going to operate like Jesus? Are we going to operate like Herod? Because Herod loved to be around godly people. He loved to hear the voice of the Lord, but he didn't surrender to the voice of the Lord. And so the king said to the girl, he's like, girl, that's my translation. Ask me for whatever you wish and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her. He says this in front of everybody. Whatever you ask me, I'll give you up to half of my kingdom. This is like a moment where Herod is like, he's in the room and his pride takes over. His pride takes over because guess what Herod could actually give somebody? Nothing. Because Rome was the owner of it. Herod is flashing back, in my opinion, to a Jewish moment in history when Esther stood before the king Xerxes, who is the king over all of Persia, and he had all the power, all the authority, and King Xerxes and all of his power and all of his authority, even though Esther wasn't dancing, looked at Esther and said, girl, whatever you want, I'll give you up to half. And so Herod is there and he feels like he's King Xerxes. And he is motivated by his pride. He's motivated by his lust. And in his pride and in his lust in this moment, guess what he says? I'll give you half. You know, pride and lust are bad companions. When desire and temptation meet opportunity, I'm going to say this to you. This is a moment with your pastor. And if I'm not your pastor, hey, my name's Jason. I'm willing to be your pastor. When desire and temptation meet opportunity, here's my advice. Are you ready? Run. When desire and temptation meet opportunity, run. When desire and temptation meet opportunity, run. When pride meets gossip and the opportunity to talk about someone else, to diminish them, to make yourself feel better, run. When pride meets judgment, and you want to judge someone else for their circumstances, their look, their dress, the way they live their life, when pride meets judgment, and then there's opportunity for you to do it with someone else, run. When pride meets greed, and you think you've earned it and no one's given it to you, so you're just going to take it, and you have the opportunity to take it, hear my advice. Are you ready? It's not mine, actually. It's actually from Jesus. Run! And when pride meets lust, an opportunity presents itself, boy, you better run. Because if you ain't running, you fallen. And that's what happened. And she went out and said to her mother, "For what should I ask?" Imagine Herod in that moment, like filled with pride, filled with lust. You might think, I don't really know. You know. You know what that feels like. To think that, yeah, I'm the woman, I'm the man. Someone gives you attention, it's unexpected, and all of a sudden it feels good. And she went out and said to her mother, "For what should I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." It was a pretty quick answer. And she came immediately in the haste of the king and asked, saying, "I want to give you at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry. In that moment, what did Herod think? Oh, no. Oh, no. But because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent executioner with orders to bring John's head. He had a moment right here when his pride and his lust were confronted, and he knew he was wrong. Okay? You know you're wrong. In that moment, you have an opportunity to say, "Hey, you know what? Sweet Herodias' daughter, I don't know her name. I shouldn't have promised you that. I shouldn't have been motivated by the way you danced. And I'm really sorry, but guess what? I'm not killing John. He's done nothing to deserve death. I broke my oath. My bad." He could have said that. But I'm telling you, that takes another word called humility. Well, guess what? He didn't say that. He sent the executioner off to take John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When the disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in the tomb. Guys, I'm just going to be honest. Like, I can't even imagine being in that room. Can you imagine being in a room when someone carries a platter in after this girl does this dance that causes lust in the hearts of these people, and it's his daughter? I mean, just like that is a breakdown for me. But then you watch this girl walk out of the room. She says she wants John the Baptist's head. Everyone knows it's going to happen. They come in with this platter. They open up this platter, and the head of a prophet, the head of a holy man, the head of the only person in the world that truly understood Jesus' purpose in that moment is on a platter. That's a type of darkness, y'all. But that darkness doesn't happen. They're not born with that darkness. That darkness happens over people hurting them, people abusing them, people being angry with them, and them doing the same thing to other people. It's a slow fade to get to a spot where you're like, how did I get what? Here. The question is, could any of them at any single moment said, "Man, Lord, I'm wrong. I need you," and returned? Yes. Can you imagine John? Do you think that's how John thought he was going to go out? Let's talk about John for a second. John is a voice in the wilderness. John's constant message is, "I will become less, he will become greater." John was a preacher, a teacher. He was confident. He was humble. I think John probably thought, someday they're going to kill me, but I won't be by myself in a prison cell, putting my head on a block with some random person coming in here with an axe and taking off my head. Like, he probably thought, I would think, if I was John, there's going to be a brave heart moment where I'm going to yell freedom and my head's going to roll. Like, that's what I would think. But see, the truth is, John, in this moment, was by himself in a prison cell, and the only other people that saw it were criminals. But guess what? John was at peace, and John wasn't by himself, because John was there to please God. John wasn't there to please man. Did you hear that? How did John have peace? Here's the conclusion of the day. You ready? John had peace because he knew where he was going. Like the ultimate dilemma of this world. Who am I? What is my purpose? And where am I going? He knew his end would be with the Lord in heaven.
As we heard today from Pastor Jason Epperson, Jesus doesn't simply invite our curiosity. He calls us for our response. Like Herod, we can hear God's truth and delay obedience. Or like John the Baptist, we can choose faithfulness no matter the cost. May we listen carefully to God's voice, respond to his encouragement and conviction, and walk closely with him this week. Thanks for joining us for today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. If you missed a portion of the broadcast, want to hear it again, or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.